Well, tonight I invite all of you back to come and hear our orchestra. This is possibly Bill King's final concert that he's going to lead here. Now, he's turned in 6 resignations to me through the years. Some of the orchestra members are wanting to do a retirement reception for him at the end of May. And I told them they need to talk to Mark. That might be at the end of December because he might be leading our Christmas musical. What I would suggest is if you want to help with the reception, just buy a can of Beanie Weenies with a long expiration date and some honey buns with a 2-year expiration date. And don't order the cake or the punch yet because it'll go bad by the time he actually retires. But tonight's going to be an outstanding concert, so I hope you'll be here. And some of you may have read in the Rome News this week the headlines, front page, Donald Trump called Bill King personally. One time a day, Donald Trump calls a citizen that is promoting patriotism in America. And so he called Bill unannounced. Bill was in his office under the dungeon here, and he stood at attention as he talked to him. Now, I still think it was Gene Spears who called. I don't think it was Donald Trump. No way. And so he thanked him for the Tomb of the Unknown replica. Don't you know that's sanctioned by the United States government? Bill and some other volunteers put that on display across our nation. Also, FedEx is one of the sponsors. These guys volunteer. They don't get paid to carry the unknown Tomb of the Unknown all across the nation. I've told Bill when he retires, I'm going to get Barry Henderson to get me the casket of Bill King, and every week one of the orchestra members will carry that empty casket around town because they're missing Bill King. Would that be all right with Bill? He's all excited about that. I just got to find out his favorite color. Lou, you might can help me with that. All right, we need to move on here. Learning more about love. I want you to look at 1 John 4:7-21. I'll read that as we go through this message. Every one of us has a heart. It's either the heart you were born with, or some people have a mechanical heart. When you look in the Word of God, you'll find that Scripture reference is not talking about the heart that is beating and is pumping. Every one of us have a heart in the sense that we have a disposition, and we also have spiritual inclination. John takes this particular passage of Scripture and does an EKG on every Christian. He mentions 4 kinds of hearts. He mentions 2 kinds that are not Christian, one that is sub-Christian, and one definitely reflects the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that word love is everywhere. Love is in songs, and love's in poems and books. Watch the Hallmark Channel. And it's all about love. One thing I love about the Hallmark Channel, you can walk in on a movie and in 60 seconds figure out exactly where you're supposed to cry and when it's going to end. Psychiatrists say the 3 greatest needs in man are simply this: the need to be wanted, the need to be needed, and the need to be loved. The Bible is a love letter to man. When I look at Peter, we call Peter the disciple of judgment. We look at James. James is the disciple of works. He says, faith without works is dead. We turn and we look at Paul, and he would be the apostle of faith. We look at John, and John is the apostle of love. First of all, I want you to notice here that love is a vital sign. Look at verse 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, if you're seriously ill, you're going to urgent care or the emergency room, and there they're going to check your vital signs. They'll check your heart, your blood pressure. They're going to check how many breaths you're taking per minute. They go check your pulse, your temperature. Well, he says love is revealed by two precious things in your life. And the first is this, whether or not you're in the family of God. When I was born in University Hospital in Augusta, Georgia, I was born to a natural family, and I inherited the nature of my parents. Once I was born again, I inherited a divine nature, the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is God's nature? God's nature is love, for God is love. Now, listen, you can't reverse that and say, love is God. That's not true. Love does not define God, but God defines love. And that's all that God is and does, is motivated by love. So he says here, those of you who've been born again are children of God. Then he says, God's children share God's nature. And then he says, God's children will love. A parent was telling Delaine how her life had been touched. This parent's in our church. Her children are in public school. She said, I was traveling with a sports team from one of our public schools, and we had to take a long trip. She said, we'd stop at the fast food restaurants, and she said, I noticed that some of the students would huddle in a corner and sit down, and they'd never eat. And if you walked up to them and asked them if they were hungry, they said, oh, we're just not hungry. She said, at the second fast food restaurant we stopped on this long trip, she said, I walked up to those same students who huddled together and didn't eat and found out they didn't have money. Their parents couldn't afford to give them money so they could have meals on the trip. And I'm glad to say that our church member jumped into action and made sure all those kids had plenty to eat. Listen, the Holy Spirit dwells in us once we get saved, and he gives us the ability to love. The second thing I want you to write down is this. Whether or not you are in fellowship with God. Look at verse 8. Whosoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So in verse 8, he said love goes deeper than the intellectual. He said it's not so much the mental knowledge of the head, but he says it's an intimate knowledge of the heart. Now, you know whether you're walking in the Spirit or not when you listen to other people and you have compassion for them. And ladies and gentlemen, people watch how we act, and they see if there's a coldness with us. Your faithfulness to Christ and his church wanes, your personality changes, there's no interest in the things of God or spiritual matters. Now notice this superior example of love in verse 9 through 11. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Now look at verse 9. He uses the word manifested. God manifested. That means to come out in the open, to make a public display. The cross is God's flashing neon sign that he loves us. Romans 5:8. For God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he's saying here the superior example of love in the whole wide world and throughout all eternity is God sending his Son. Now notice this is a true sacrificial love there in verse 7 and 8. God gave his only begotten Son. Let me give you another translation for begotten. He gave his only Son. He gave his unique Son. God gave us his very best. He spared absolutely nothing in purchasing our salvation. So it costs God his Son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So when God gave his Son on the cross, he gave the supreme definition of love. Valentine's Day is surrounded by thoughts of love, a great time to reiterate true love. And we find out on Valentine's that the word love is not a noun, it's a verb. It's a word of action. There's a lady back in 2013. Her name is Melissa Jones. She gave a great example of love to her husband, because in February that year, she gave one of her kidneys to her husband so that he might live. She said this, quote, "I'm giving all the love I have." And most people, including her husband, saw it as a huge sacrifice. But here's what she said, quote, she said, "My kidney is an investment. This is our life." And then the surgeon said this, "Melissa is making the rest of us look bad. Most of us buy an expensive box of candy and a card and call it a day. But this girl is doing something phenomenal. Saying I love you is important, but demonstrating your love is essential." Notice true love is selfless love, not only sacrificial, but it's also selfless. Look at verse 9. "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." God sent Jesus not for what Jesus would do for the Father, but what he would do for us. You see, when I was in darkness, when I was lost, God sent light. When I was in deadness, the lostness of sin, when I'd never been saved, he gave me life. And I want you to know, when I was in doom, God sent me love. You see, the death of Jesus was not an accident. It was an appointment. He had to die as a weak martyr. He did not die as a weak martyr. He died as a mighty conqueror, that he might live in us and we would live for him. Several years ago, there was a little orphan boy. His mom and dad had died. He's been raised just by his grandmother. They lived in a little two-story house. House caught on fire. She was doing everything she could to rescue that little boy, her grandson, from the fire. She was overcome by smoke and she burned to death. Little boy kept screaming. Finally, there was a man down the street, heard the scream. He shimmied up a wrought iron, steaming hot gutter on the side of that building so he could get in a second story window, bring that guy back out, the little fella, and then he shimmied back down this steaming hot gutter. His hands were burned all to pieces. Well, DFACS didn't know what to do with this child after they took him to the hospital, had him checked out. No more family members to take care of him. He's an orphan. Went to court one day, and three families filed a petition to adopt him. One was a farmer. One was the wealthiest man in the town, and the other was a school teacher. Each one of those came forward individually, and the teacher, then the farmer, and the wealthiest man in the county gave their case before the judge saying why they should get this child in adoption. The whole time, the little boy just sat with his face facing the floor. In a few minutes, a man walked in the back door, and he walked up to the judge's bench, and he held up his burned hands. When the little boy looked up and saw those hands, he jumped out of his seat and hugged him, and he said, "I want this man to be my father." He was a man that was willing to sacrifice and show love to save this little boy's life. Notice this, true love is also a satisfying love. Look at verse 10. "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent as an atoning sacrifice his Son for our sins." It's the word propitiation. That word propitiation just means satisfaction. 1 John 1:5, we see that God is light. Now, light refers to the purity of God. It refers to the holiness of God. God's love is a holy love. Ladies and gentlemen, the love that we have within us, that's given to us by the Holy Spirit, is supposed to be a holy love. God gave us forgiveness with his love, and now we're to share love with other people. And we talk about being holy as God is holy. You're never more holy than when you love with the love of Christ. And notice what else he says in verse 10. True love is a sharing love. He says this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for us. Notice here, Jesus was sent into the world. Now watch this. Babies are born into this world, but Jesus Christ was sent in this world. The Son of Man, Jesus, was born into this world, but as the Son of God, he was sent into this world. And as the perfect man, Jesus, was born, but as the eternal Son, Jesus, was sent. Now notice this. True love shares, true love gives, and it does not give what a man wants, nor does it give what a man deserves, but it gives what man needs. This kind of love marks a true Christian. Sacrificial, satisfying. We see that it's a sharing kind of love. There's not a greater mark of how much a man loved God than what he gives to God and why he gives to God and how he gives to God. Pastor was preaching one Sunday morning on giving. Very wealthy man in his church, wasn't very spiritual, really just a baby Christian. The man got up and walked out in the middle of his sermon. But the man was waiting on the pastor when he was going to the foyer after the service was over. And here's what the man said. The man said, "Preacher, all you ever preach on is give, give, give." The preacher said, "Thank you, sir. That's the best definition of Christianity I've ever heard." Well, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Now notice the substance of love in verse 12. "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him, and him in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them, and them in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us." Now in verse 12, 13 tells us love's source. The love he's speaking of is a heavenly love. It's a holy love. It's something that's not natural. It has a supernatural quality. It doesn't come from us. The source comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now notice that John says that God has given us of his Holy Spirit. You know, I can preach and I'm blue in the face and tell you, you need to love one another. But here's what we do. I'm going to love him. I'm going to love her. But I hate this person over here. We pick and choose who we love and who we hate. But that's not what he says here. He says here that we're to use that bucket of love that's been planted within us by the Holy Spirit to love all people. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, "As the Holy Spirit dwells within you and fills you, he just keeps emptying buckets of the love of God into your heart." Next time you find somebody hard to love, instead of gritting your teeth and saying, "I'm going to love you no matter what," just say, "God, just love that person through me." I enjoy speaking to people that hate my guts. I get great joy out of that. I really do. There's some people who've left this church and they didn't say goodbye. I really don't know what the problem was. But you know what? There's always Walmart. That's the biggest church in the nation. And you're going to run into those people. And I kind of enjoy doing it. Now I'm not going to strike up a conversation with them, but, you know, down at one end of the aisle, they got the cart, and they kind of look up, and if they don't turn around, go the other way. Now, I've had that happen. In Walmart, I was walking up, and there was this young man that grew up in our church, nice young man, dropped out of church. And I got about as far as from here to the front pew, and I said, "Well, hey," and I called his name, and he turned and went the other way. Never said a word. I didn't inquire, but somebody else told me the kind of lifestyle he had adopted. That's why he was turning away. I see adults sometimes. They're coming down the aisle with their cart, oh no, it's too late to turn back now. And you know, they're looking at the Pillsbury chocolate cake brownies on the bottom shelf. And I walk by and I say, hey, how you doing? And you can see the nausea begin right away. But you know, I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to speak to them. I'm going to smile. I'm wearing braces now. I'm wearing Invisaligns. When I go to the orthodontist, I'm the youngest one there. There are middle schoolers and high schoolers playing on these little things. I'm over there with a pen and a piece of paper, just praying they'll hurry up and call me to get me out of the nursery back into the examination room. But one reason I'm getting my teeth fixed, and I'm going to get them bleached, is when I see people that hate my guts, I'm going to flash them the whitest, straightest smile they've ever seen in their life. You know why? Because Jesus says, we're even to love those people that hate us. The other thing he says is love surrender in verse 14 and 15. And we've seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. I was a little puzzled about that text for a little while, but when you look at it closely, you'll find this. The man who's full of the Holy Spirit will not only love God, love Jesus Christ, and profess Jesus as the Son of God and Lord of all, but that same person who loves God will also love other people. 1 Corinthians 12:3, listen to this. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is not in your heart, there's no love in your heart. For love's profession is Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at love's scope in verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. John is simply saying that where you live depends on how you love. If God's love is in you, then you possess God and God possesses you. Where love is absent, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is absent. If the Holy Spirit lives within you, you're born again. The scope of love is just so broad. You remember, the Bible says that God so loves the world. That's the scope. And that's the kind of love we ought to have. Notice here the supernatural effects of love. A man cannot have a love for God, nor the love of God within him, and not be affected. It transforms us. It changes our character. It changes our personality more into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you don't fear anybody that you love. My dad was a disciplinarian. I've told you that. Dad believed in capital punishment and he executed it. I'm on my 8th life. But you know, I was never fearful of my dad. There were times I was a little afraid of what he was going to do. Never used profanity. He just told us what we did wrong. And then he told us how it was going to be corrected. And that was not a long sermon. It was very short because he was getting to the attitude adjustment phase of that instruction. But you know, I was not afraid of my father because the Bible says whom what? A father loves, he does what? He disciplines. One of these days, I want you to think about this. One of these days, individually, we're going eye to eye, face to face, before the judgment seat of Christ if we're believers. Now, your salvation's settled, that's secure. But your life is going to be reviewed. My life is going to be reviewed. And we're not going to do the talking. Jesus is going to do all the talking. He's going to do all the reviewing. The things that we did in Jesus' name that was pure to help people, to be involved in ministry, to live our lives to glorify Him going to be rewarded. Those things that we didn't do that honored Him are going to burn like wood, hay, and stubble. Right now, Jesus is our Savior and Lord. There, He's going to be our judge. But ladies and gentlemen, if you've been born again, you're a child of God. And there's no sense in fearing that time when we go before Him, because Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Go with me to verse 18. He says here, we need to have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. His perfect love for us eliminates all dread for what we do. Listen to this. A true prince has confidence in his king because he loves his father. Now, John, three different times in 1 John, calls men liars. Look with me, if you will, in chapter 1, verse 6. If a man lives in darkness but claims to have fellowship with God, he is a liar. Then he says in chapter 2, verse 4, if a man lives in disobedience but claims to know God, he is a liar. And here he says that if a man lives in disfellowship but claims to love God, he is a liar. And his argument is very simple. It's humanly impossible to love a God you've not seen if you cannot love a brother who is standing right in front of you. You see, God's fixed you, if you're a Christian, where you cannot be wrong with your brother in Christ and be right with Him at the same time. It's not a matter of harmony, ladies and gentlemen. It's a matter of holiness. Because if you're walking in fellowship with the Lord, living a Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered life, will you love people with the love of Christ? The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Last year, summer 2017, some of you saw this news report. Panama City Beach.
A day on the beach almost turned tragic for Roberta Ursary and her family Saturday.
And I seen my husband, my mama, my oldest daughter, and my youngest daughter, and my nephew, but I didn't see my boys.
When she finally saw her 8 and 11-year-old boys, they were far out in the water. She later realized they were caught in a rip current.
They were screaming and crying that they were stuck. They couldn't go nowhere.
Panicked, Ursary and most of her family ran into the water to rescue her children, but the current proved to be too much.
And so we all ended up being stuck in it.
While in the water, struggling to stay afloat, Ursary says that's when something amazing happened, a selfless act performed by strangers that she says helped save her life.
People on the beach formed a human chain to reach Ursary and the others caught in the rip current. Ursary's son, Stephen, recalls the scary ordeal.
We got caught in the current and, well, our mom had to go in after me and my brother, and the people made a human chain and pulled us out.
A chain of events that ultimately left Ursary feeling thankful.
Because as a mama, I'm supposed to be able to protect them and do everything, and I couldn't do it that day. I had to have help, which I was eternally grateful for, that was there to be able to help me.
Since they helped me when I grew up, and they start, and if they can't swim, I'm going to have to...
Stephen says he just wants the chance to pay it forward one day. In Panama City Beach, Byron Khalil, News Channel 7.
Couple was going down the beach. They saw 70 or 80 people just standing and watching. Two of their family members had gone out and been carried out by the rip current. It's 15 feet deep. Then some of the other family members went out to rescue those. They were caught in the current. There were 9 people drowning. This little couple that came out said everybody, 70 to 80 people, just stood and watched and did nothing. The little couple that was going to dinner, the husband rushed over to these people who are standing there doing nothing, probably many filming with their smartphone, He yelled at the people and said, "These people are not going to drown today. Grab my hand." And for those of you who don't know how to swim, you get in our chain first in the shallow water and hold on. And that little couple that was going to dinner led the line all the way out. There were 80 people in the line. And the little couple that started the chain were out in the deepest part. They swam out and brought each one of those 9 people back to the chain, and they were brought back to the shore. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what a lot of Christians are doing in a lot of churches, they're standing on the shore looking out, doing nothing. God's called us a church to be God's hands and feet in this world. And if you're saved, He's given us that bucket of love, the indwelling Holy Spirit, and as we pour it out, He keeps refilling it. God's given us the gift of unity in this church for a lot of years. Let me tell you how you maintain unity. You maintain unity with love. And we're to protect the unity in this church because God's going to hold us responsible. As we move together in unity, protected by love, we'll be able to reach out to people in this community. God's laid on my heart, and I'm going to share with our deacons, be rolling out to you in a few weeks, the way we're going to be involved greater than ever before in reaching people for Christ, not only here, but across this nation and around the world. Now, we can bicker back and forth over things, or we can be involved in God's business. And I'm going to tell you something. What stands between people in this community and hell is whether we're going to be willing to make that chain of love and get the message of Christ to the people who need Him so desperately in our county and the ones that are surrounding. It's a command, ladies and gentlemen. You either obey or disobey. The Lord Jesus Christ lets us know that we're to share His love with everybody we meet. Are we going to be the church that Christ and His love built? It's up to you. Let's stand.